multitask now, so there's more stuttering. You know, I think, you know, everybody's different in terms of their view of humor. For me personally, being a stand-up comic, I see it as a social issue that people need to understand our experiences. And there's the tradition of oral storytelling that is across almost all cultures. And for me, I'm also dyslexic. And so I hate to write. And I know that I'm on my second book, but I hate to write. But I love to express my ideas and I love to create stories, especially personal stories. And so for me, humor is a way to connect to other people. And so for me, it's an important tool because I think people see something like stuttering or other kinds of disabilities as a serious thing. And if you can create jokes about it and to connect in that way, I think it breaks down barriers. And for example, whenever I go on a job interview and they ask me the first question, what I say is that I stutter, and so they're just going to have to wait for all the brilliant things that I have to say. And it tells, and so it's a joke, so it puts everyone at ease. They know that I'm acknowledging it, but they also know to shut the hell up. And so I'm telling them that ahead of time, too. So. No! What is that? Really? Nice. Of course, yes. Yeah, I will definitely check that out. Thank you. Wow. Yeah. That's amazing. Right? It's always refreshing to talk to people outside of the U.S. because they seem to get it more than us. Well, I have some family who think he's hilarious, and I'm like, I don't need my president to be hilarious. I need for him to lead. So, yeah, so that's my take on it. I don't know if I can say this on here, but he talks a lot of shit. And he's good at talking shit. It's like, let's not talk shit about North Korea. So. And the thing is it's a really nice way to filter everything, because I did a training recently, and it was a week that I was stuttering so much. And what helped me was now being a comedian. I'm like, you know what? I just know this week I'm going to stutter a lot, and I'm going to have a lot of very strange experiences, and I'm going to put them in my show. And for example, when I was doing the training, this woman rolled her eyes like every time that I stuttered a ton. And now my joke is like, you know, I stutter, I'm not blind. I can see you. You there now? Yeah. Yeah, no, and so it's just that when you stutter and you have these experiences and you're able to laugh at them or laugh at the people. You know, for me, a lot of my stand-up comedy isn't about my stuttering. It's about other people and their reactions and making fun of them. And so, you know, kind of like putting it out instead of putting it in. Say more about that. I want to hear your take on that. Mm-hmm. No, totally. And we have to, at Stutters, it's this fine line of taking yourself seriously, but not taking yourself too seriously. Because I think a lot of times people will dismiss us, and society oftentimes will dismiss us, because they don't see us as being strong. But at the same time, when those weird things happen around our speech, we also have to this is kind of a funny experience. And being able to walk that line, which I think is really, really hard. It's a combination of both. So doing stand-up comedy locally, some nights I make $5 if I'm lucky. It is not a lot. So you really have to love it. But I'm also able to tour the country and do keynote speaking and talk to colleges, where it's not like my standard dirty jokes that I tell in a nightclub or at a dive bar. So it's not those, but it's more like the things that we're talking about now, that those are the things that I am able to convey to a college audience and get paid. Yay, thank you. And I will hear him this time, so that's awesome.
Thank you, Nina ji, for joining this Skype call. Thank you. And one question I want to ask from you, that I do want to become a stuttering comedian. So what should I do?
Well, you already stutter, so you're halfway there. So that's good. I think the other thing is to just write 3 minutes of material. Just have that amount of jokes and go to an open mic. When you go, and like, you should just go to an open mic, and I'm sure someone like Pooja can testify to this, that open mics are just horrible. When you go there, you're like, oh, I could do comedy. If these people are up there doing comedy, I could do comedy. And just write and write well. And I think sometimes these stuttering jokes can get you through the first 3 minutes, but after that, you still have to be good. So the novelty will wear off, but you need to have good material after those jokes. Right. Yeah, well, and for me, what I always say is, in dealing with hecklers, like, it's like I know karate, and I just walk down the street, and I wait for someone to attack me so that I could beat them up. And in stuttering, like, I've been bullied all my life. Like, I go to family parties, and my brother will still make fun of me. So I have learned how to respond my entire life. So when a heckler comes at me, I'm ready. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to take out all these years of aggression on them. So my muscle is very strong there. That's also part of it, is that we have learned to be good communicators, and we've learned to stick up for ourselves. And the comedy stage is a place where we could really express that.
Yes. I'm having more questions to ask from Nina. One of the questions how it feels to be a person with not much of diversity.
A person with what? With the dyslexia and the stuttering, sometimes they combat each other, because when I'm trying to write new material and when I perform it, my dyslexia is I'm trying to remember it all, and I'm trying to process language, and I can't worry about whether or not I'm going to stutter. So there's this really weird process of trying to get the joke down, trying to write it, trying to think about timing as it relates to my dyslexia. But then how am I going to stutter on this is a whole other thing. And I can't really figure that out until I figure out the wording of the joke. Because there is just some words and some combination of words that I know that I'm always going to stutter on. And so sometimes what I'll do is I will structure a joke so that the stuttering happens before, but I know that the punchline is going to be fairly fluent so that I can get it out. But again, it all depends on the joke. It depends on the topic. It depends on so many different things. Oh, yeah. That's where you tell the joke for a while at an open mic to see what the response is. Because if I really like it, I want to try to get them to like it. And if they don't, then it just kind of wears off. But there are some jokes that I think every single comedian tells for themselves and not for others. Definitely yes. The first book is actually on dyslexia. It's called Once Upon an Accommodation, a story about learning disabilities, and it's for kids. And it's illustrated by my one of my best friends who goes by the name Mean Days, and he's actually very nice. But he illustrated my words to express what it's like to be diagnosed with a learning disability and how to advocate and what laws help that, because in America there are different laws for education and civil rights, and it all, and the book helps to explore that. Yes. Oh, so tell me why. Yeah, and I think that it's hard for us as stutterers to get to that point because it's desensitization, right? That, like, you speak in enough areas and have enough experience and life experience to know, like, okay, stuttering in front of people is not a big deal. And I know for me, I stuttered in front of my whole school when I was in the seventh grade, and I stuttered on my own name. And in, like, your, you know, to your 12-year-old girl brain, you think your life is over. I thought I was going to have to move. I thought, like, all of these things. And what I learned was that it wasn't that big of a deal. And I think I'm really, you know, my parents overall were pretty protective in terms of, like, I couldn't leave the house. I had to be home at a certain time. I couldn't do a bunch of things. But they let me stutter in front of the school knowing that that might happen. And I was so thankful for that, that they didn't coddle me and protect me in that way, because I needed to have those kinds of experiences. And so I think it's important for parents to let kids have those experiences, even if they're going to be painful, because they're going to learn from those. And I think for kids who stutter, they need to see us. You know, for me, I didn't see a woman on TV stutter until I was 23, and she was this hot girl who sold hot dogs out of a cart in a bikini, and she was on this show called Howard Stern. And, like, that was the first time that I saw someone who talked like me on TV, and, like, 23 is way too old, so I think it's our responsibility as people in organizations like TIFA to talk about our experiences and to model that, but it's also the responsibility of the media to give us better representation. Whenever we're talked about, it's like, oh, the poor thing, oh, they talk, and it's such an inspiration. I hate that inspirational stuff. Like, we are more than just that. and so I would like the media to show us as fuller people, and just like that film that you talked about, that we're more than our disabilities, we're more than just that one piece. We can lead more complete lives, and kids need to see that. Right? That is not the point. Oh, or give us some money, like something. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's all, okay, so this is a story. I was once on this talk show, and this is on YouTube, and you can look it up, but I was on this talk show, and they do this interview, really good interview, but then the host, as they end, says, tell her, me, tell her that Mel Tillis, who's this country singer in the U.S., tell her that Mel Tillis made $1 million, stuttering. And I interrupted him right there. It was so good. I interrupted him, and I said, that and his talent. Like, no one gets $1 million stuttering, and if they do, sign me up. But you have to have more than that, like talent. Wait, please. Mhm. Yeah. Yeah, and you know, and that's where I could be working on my fluency. You know, I learned tools when I was a kid, like talking like this, which I am fluent when I do this, and I could work on my fluency. But that takes up a lot of time and a lot of space in my head. So instead I try to educate the environment. And I think that we can kind of choose on which one to do. Yeah. Ooh, okay, good luck with that. Well, you guys had that really great commercial about this stand-up comic who stuttered for the tea thing, or no, it was for coffee. Yeah, and like I thought it was done well, but it also I wasn't very happy that it was a fluent actor playing a stuttering comic. Like, why couldn't that be you? Like, you could do that instead, and then, you know, you could actually have a more authentic character than someone who's faking it, so. Yeah. 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 I mean, yes. And so I live in the Bay Area. I live right next to Berkeley, and I went to UC Berkeley for my undergraduate degree. And so, yeah, I'm from a very politically correct culture around me. But, like, I think it surpasses that because, like, I can speak from my own experience. Like, I have a ton of jokes about the Catholic Church because I was raised Catholic. I'm Italian Catholic. And I have jokes from that perspective. And I think the problem with the politically correct part is when people are speaking for someone else that you don't have that experience. If you can speak from your own experience, you can say almost anything. And that's where a lot of my jokes on disability, like people think that they might not be politically correct because it's like, oh my God, you're talking about this thing. But I'm talking about it from my own experience, so it always comes off okay. And also, like, I don't want to hurt anybody with my jokes. I want to hurt systems, and I want to hurt people who are assholes, but I don't want to hurt groups of people because that's not really what I'm about. And also, with that being said, I think it's comedy is a good tool to kind of call out. I, like, what I don't like is when like there was a comedian recently in the U.S. who had a Netflix special who said something derogatory about disability, and people wanted to protest him and get him off of Netflix, which, like, I understand that, but those same people don't promote the disabled comedians that do that they are out there, and they are doing that work. And that's what I would want to see, is, like, I want to see something counter to the garbage. I want to see us up there instead of someone else being censored. Yeah. In October of this year, I don't think I can swing that. I would love to eventually. That would be amazing. And if there's funding, then yeah, I could probably do it. But I am guessing there's not a whole lot of funding. Right. Yeah, I know. Oh my God, that would be so amazing. And, like, you know, I've been watching you guys now for 7-8 years. And it's just grown more and more and more. And I remember one of the conferences when I first started paying attention, it was like 12 people. And it was all men. And now, like, every picture that I see, it's just expanding more and more and more and getting more diverse. And what is that saying that you guys had? Because I am including it in my book. So what's the Hindi translation for the scammer with love? Oh, okay. To stay safe. Yeah, I love that. No, and I think, I mean, here in the U.S., we have this saying, if you stutter, you aren't alone. But I really, I like that saying a lot more. I think it's perfect. Yeah, Now that you say that, I guess so. I guess that's why I don't like that. Yeah. Oh, that's great. Oh, I live in the Bay Area, so, like, we have, everybody has to express their opinion, like, all of their politics is all on the back of their car. So, you know, just, you know, every, like, people are still putting Obama stickers on. I was like, well, you know, that's kind of old now. And, you know, just, like, every political belief about diversity, you know, it's like all this stuff on diversity on their cars, and it's like, well, you also just cut me off. So, like, I don't know, like, if you really truly embrace that love and diversity that you put on because you cut me off on the freeway and you're not being very nice, so... Now, see, the only thing that I've really seen on the back of trucks was once, and forgive me because I'm going to say something vulgar, but the truck driver put on the back of his truck, show me your tits. So that's the only thing I've seen that is even close. So far from the evil eye in casting that out. That's like a feminist stance, so that's good. Yeah. Please. Thank you. Yeah, and I've always really enjoyed seeing the progress that the Indian Stammering Association's made, and it's just amazing. And I'm just so proud that I can be, you know, a little part of that story. And just, you know, I know across the world, stuttering is a big stigma. And the way that you all talk about it and treat it and live your lives around it, it, like, just having people who counter that stigma is such a big thing. So great job on the work that y'all do. That's awesome. Oh! That's right. Come on. Man up and stutter. That's awesome, and you should. Just make sure that you write a lot of material and get to those open mics, because you have to practice it. So, and Pooja's out there doing it now and has just gotten so much recognition and so much publicity that I think there is a market there that you can really capitalize on.
Before we close, I want to invite you, Nina ji. We are having a national conference in Bangalore, so if you can come there, so it will be a great help for us.
I would love that more than anything. And if you ever want me to Skype in, and or not Skype in, or Google Hangout, because I think that's probably a better option. I've done that for the Irish Tamarine Association. So always let me know how I can help. And maybe once I booked out, maybe I'll have to do like the India tour. Yeah. No, since it's Saturday, I am going to go work on some, I have a storytelling gig next week where I'm telling a story called Stutter Like a Girl, about how I always wanted a stuttering best friend who was a girl, and how I eventually found her. So I will post that online once that's out. And so I'm going to go work on some stuff around that. And then I have a show this evening in Fremont. So I'm going to go out there and eat, write, and then go to the show. Yeah. Yes. Namaste. Thank you. That is really hard to say when you stutter that N. So namaste. Thank you all. Take care. Bye-bye. Take care.
Yes, I'm having more questions.
Also have to like, okay, this is kind of a funny experience. And being able to walk that line, which I think is really...
to becoming a good comedian.
Yeah, well, and for me, what I always say is, in dealing with hecklers, like, it's like I know karate, and I just walk down the street, and I wait for them to still make fun of me. So I have learned how to respond.
I'm having more questions too.
Flying is going to be fairly fluent so that I can get it out. But again, it all depends on the joke, it depends on the topic, it depends on so many different things.
Wow, great. Has it ever happened that the audience has not laughed but you yourself have really enjoyed your joke?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's where all talk about it and treat it and live your lives around it. I have a storytelling gig next week where I'm telling a story called Stutter Like a Girl, about how I always wanted a stuttering best friend. Namaste. Thank you. That is really hard to say when you stutter that N. So namaste. Thank you all.
Thank you so much. We really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Great time.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Take care. Thank you.
Take care. Uh-huh.